بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. After the three first talks or four talks about fasting, the meaning of fasting, its goals, its merits, and the wisdoms, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's manners in fasting, we come today to speak about the rulings on fasting. The rulings on fasting. In order to attain the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fast, then the believer must understand the rulings of fasting so that he or she conducts them or conducts the fasting in the proper, which will bring forth faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, manifestation of it, and hope in the reward with him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first ruling: لا يجب الصيام أو الصوم حتى يثبت دخول الشهر. Fasting is not to start until the verified sighting of the crescent is manifested. قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 185, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Whoever of you sights the crescent of the first night of the month of Ramadan, then he must observe fasting the month. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would watch for the hilal, for the crescent of the moon of the month of Ramadan, and he ordered watching for it. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, صوموا لرؤيته وأفطروا لرؤيته فإن غمي عليكم الشهر فعدوا ثلاثين. In the hadith reported by Muslim and also in the Bukhari with another wording, فإن غبي عليكم فأكملوا عدة شعبان ثلاثين. Fast upon its sighting and break fast upon its sighting. If it is obscure due to cloudiness, haze or any obstruction, if it is obscure for you, then complete the count, meaning 30 days of the month of Sha'ban, or as in Al-Bukhari's narration, complete counting Sha'ban until 30 days. This is in Bukhari and Muslim and others. And the sighting of the crescent takes place after the sun sets. That's when people go out and try to sight the crescent after sunset. And fasting is not to take place based upon astronomical calculations, because لأن الشرع علق الحكم بأمر محسوس, because the Sharia made the ruling based upon a physically manifested matter, and this is the sighting, the actual sighting of the crescent. And the condition to accept the sighting of anyone, his testimony, is that he must be adult, sane, Muslim, trusted in his news, and also good and strong in his sight. and the affirmation of the entrance of the month of Ramadan and its commencement could take place actually by the testimony of one person due to the hadith of Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, who said, ترى الناس الهلال فأخبرت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أني رأيته فصام وأمر الناس بصيامه. In the hadith reported by Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim, and Al-Hakim said it is in accordance with the conditions of Muslim, and Al-Hakim authenticated it, and similarly Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, people went out looking for the crescent of the month of Ramadan, and I saw it, so I informed the Prophet ﷺ that I saw it, so he himself, the Prophet, fasted and commanded the people to start the fast. Second condition, fasting is not mandatory until the commencement of the entrance of the month of Ramadan. So there should be no fasting before the entrance of the month of Ramadan by one day or 2 days, out of precaution. This is forbidden, because the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يتقدمن أحدكم رمضان بصوم يوم أو يومين إلا أن يكون رجل كان يصوم صومه فليصوم ذلك اليوم. Do not precede Ramadan with a day or two of fasting, except for a person fasting a particular fast. If it coincides with the days which he regularly fasts, then that's okay. Then let him fast. Reported in Al-Bukhari and Al-Muslim. Particularly in cases like if this person was fasting on Mondays and Thursdays of every week, or he was fasting one day and breaking another, or he was fasting the 3 days of every month and for some reason, legal reason, he couldn't fast it in the middle, so he was caught and that's the only time was left, or if it was a fasting of expiation or a vow, or it's a fasting of making up a fast, a previous obligatory fast. These are exemptions. What's prohibited is to make such fasting a day or so before out of precaution. Then this is forbidden by the text of the Prophet ﷺ, which you see there. None of you should fast a day or two before the month of Ramadan unless he has a habit of fasting, and if his fasting coincides with that day, then he can fast that day. So it is not from the sunnah for the Muslim to fast optional fasting on the last 2 days of Sha'ban as a measure of precaution, except if these coincide with days which he regularly fasts. Now the fasting on the day of doubt, which is the 30th of Sha'ban, is forbidden. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من صام اليوم الذي يشك فيه فقد عصى أبا القاسم. Whoever fasts on the day of doubt, meaning the 30th of Sha'ban, has indeed disobeyed Abu al-Qasim, and Abu al-Qasim is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The observance of fast merely on the basis of suspicion or assumption that the crescent of Ramadan might possibly have been sighted on the 29th of Sha'ban and something like this is forbidden. So this is concerning the first matter, is the affirmation of the commencement of the entrance of the month of Ramadan. The second matter here by which the month of Ramadan is asserted is to complete the previous month, meaning the month of Sha'ban, to complete it 30 days. Because the lunar month cannot exceed 30 days and it cannot be less than 29 days. And the month starts when the crescent which indicates its beginning is sighted. The month starts when the crescent which indicates its beginning is sighted. If it, however, is cloudy, that the crescent cannot be seen, or hazy, then the 30th day of Sha'ban is completed and the new month begins from the following day. And the new month, in this case Ramadan, begins the following day. And if people are unable to sight the hilal, the crescent, although the sky is clear, no cloud or haze or something like this, or there is no obscurity that prevents the sighting on the night of the 30th, so in the morning people should not fast because they didn't see the sight, they didn't see the moon, the crescent. So they should complete the 30th. They should complete the 30th. Now, we're going to go and, from a legal perspective, consider the categories of people regarding the fasting. The categories of people regarding the fasting. And there are 10 categories. There are 10 categories. The first category must be a Muslim, adult, sane, in residence, not traveling, free from any impediment. All of this is affirmed by Quran, by the authentic Sunnah, and by the consensus. This is the first group. Muslim, adult, sane, residing, free of impediments, Muslim. So fasting is not required from a kafir. It's not required from the kafir to fast, and fasting is not correct from him while in a state of kufr. Neither it is required from him to make it up after he becomes a Muslim. Neither it is required from him to make it up after he becomes a Muslim. It is not correct from him لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ أَهْلًا لِلْعِبَادَةِ, because he is not fit for worship. And the evidence for this is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, in chapter 9, verse 54. وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَى وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ. And nothing prevents their contributions from being accepted from them except that they disbelieved in Allah and in His Messenger, and that they came not to the prayers except in a lazy state, and that they offer not contributions but unwillingly. The point is, and nothing prevents their contributions from being accepted from them except that they disbelieved in Allah. So if their contributions and its benefits it transcended benefits, are not accepted because of their kufr, of their disbelief, then by all reason, the particular worships are not to be accepted. If the kafir accepts Islam and becomes a Muslim during the month of Ramadan, then it is not required from him to make up for the days of Ramadan in which he was a kafir, non-fasting. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal, in chapter 8, verse 38, قل للذين كفروا إن ينتهوا يغفر لهم ما قد سلف. قل للذين كفروا إن ينتهوا يغفر لهم ما قد سلف. Say to those who have disbelieved, if they cease from disbelief, their past will be forgiven. Their past will be forgiven. But if they return thereto, then the examples of those punished before them have already preceded as a warning. And it is affirmed from consecutive narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, did not commend the people who accepted Islam in his times to make up what they missed from what is obligatory upon them in Islam, in the religion. Now, question. Would the kafir be punished for abandoning these worships in the hereafter, meaning while he is a kafir? Would he be punished for abandoning these worships in the hereafter, meaning if he dies as a kafir? The answer is yes. Because if the Muslim, the disobedient Muslim, who testifies to Islam, may be punished because of his disobedience, then the one who is disdainful and arrogant, then is more deserving. The more so it will be for him. This is by way of analogy. By way of textual proof, let us examine the following verses in Surah Al-Muddathir, chapter 74, verse 42 to 47. ما سلككم في سقر قالوا لم نكن من المصلين. This is Salah. ولم نكن نطعم المسكين. This is Zakah. وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين. This is mockery of Allah. وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين. We used to belie the day of resurrection. What has caused you to enter hell? This is on the day of resurrection. The kafirs. What has caused you to enter hell? They will say, we were not of those who used to offer their salah. Look at this. Nor we used to feed the masakeen, the poor, not giving any zakah. More. وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين. 45. And we used to talk falsehood, all that which is hated with vain talkers, and make mockery of Allah and His verses. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And we used to belie the day of recompense. So these are the things which made them, which caused them to be admitted to the fire of hell. And they mentioned four things. And were it not effective, were these things not effective, in addition to their belying, then their mentioning here would be in vain. And high Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above this. Now, if the kafir accepts Islam during the day, during one day of the days of Ramadan, say for example, he accepts Islam at 10 a.m., then it is incumbent upon him to restrain from eating and food and all the invalidators of fasting the rest of the day. Because On this day, he became from Ahlul Wujub. He became from the people upon whom matters are incumbent when he accepted Islam. But it is not required from him to make up, because when he restrained, he was not from, لم يكن من أهل الوجوب حين وقت وجوب الإمساك. Because he was not considered from the people upon whom matters are obligated. You know, at the time when imsak is required from him, restrainment, which is before dawn. But rather, this took place after, at 10 a.m. So if the kafir accepts Islam during the day, then it is incumbent upon him to restrain from eating, drinking and everything, because now he is one. And remember this please, Ahlul Wujub, huh? This was very important. There will be two classifications. One of them is this, and there are rulings regarding this, and there is another classification, and there are rulings regarding that. Ahlul Wujub, people upon whom matters are obligated to carry on. So this is the first thing. The first is that he is a Muslim. Second, he must be mukallaf, a person of legal responsibility, meaning adult, sane, a sane adult, because لأنه لا تكليف مع الصغر ولا تكليف مع الجنون, because there is no responsibility, legal responsibility binding on the young nor on the insane. The young, when we say the young, meaning the young and adult. So the person must be sane adult. As to the young who is non-adult, then there is no obligation of fasting until he or she reaches the state of puberty. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثَةَ عَنِ النَّائِمِ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقِظْ وَعَنِ الصَّغِيرِ حَتَّى يَكْبُرْ وَعَنِ الْمَجْنُونِ حَتَّى يَفِيقْ, reported by Ahmad, Dawood and Nasa'i and Al-Hakim, and Al-Hakim authenticated it. The Prophet ﷺ said, the 10 is raised from 3 categories, meaning they will not be held responsible, they will not be held legally responsible for their actions. And these are, he said, the insane until they become sane, those who are sleeping until they are awakened, and the young until they reach puberty. However, with respect to the young and adults, non-adults, they are to be commanded to fast if they are able to tolerate that, in order to train them on obedience so that they become acquainted with it and it be inclined to do when they reach the stage of puberty. And this we have an example in the righteous predecessors with their youngsters. They used to make their young fast, and they used to take them to the mosque with them, and carrying with them their toys, which were made of wool, And when they used to cry, they would give them these toys to make them busy and try to forget about food. Train them. And it's unfortunate that in our times we have people who prevent their young from fasting, although they like to start it early, and their parents prevent them, saying this is rahmah bihim, this is mercy to them. And the truth of the matter is anna rahmatahum, the true mercy to them, هي القيام بواجب تربيتهم على شعائر الإسلام. The true mercy with respect to them is to train them to perform the what constitutes the apparent matters of Islam and the worships of Islam and its teachings. So anyone who prevents them or neglects them in this, then he is zalim to them, he is a wrongdoer, unjust to them and even to himself. Yes, if he sees a manifested harm or a possibility for that to occur, then in this case there is no blame on him if he prevents them from fasting. So the point here is that they should be encouraged. So now the question is, how these young attain the stage of puberty? Puberty occurs if one of these following three matters is attained. Number one, semen ejaculation in a wet dream or due to a desire. Secondly, the growing of the pubic hair, which is the rough hair that grows around the and above the private part. The third one is reaching 15 years of age. These are the three. Anyone who attains any of these three, then he or she become an adult. Add to that one more concerning the girl. If menses takes place, then she becomes an adult, even if she is less than 15 years of age. Now, if someone reaches or becomes an adult during the day of any day of Ramadan, if he was fasting, then he continues the fast and there is nothing upon him. However, if he was not fasting, then it is incumbent upon him to abstain that day. Meaning, if he reaches puberty or she reaches puberty noon on the fifth day of Ramadan, then it is incumbent upon he or she to abstain from eating, drinking, etc. that day. Why? Because they become, or she or he becomes, from Ahlul Wujub. From Ahlul Wujub. And it is not required from him or her to make it up. Okay, now we go. So this is the young and adult. With respect to the sane, he must be sane. فَلَا يَصِحُّ مِنَ الْمَجْنُونَ. Then fasting is not correct from the insane. Due to the hadith which we mentioned earlier, the pen is raised from three categories, and one of them is the insane until they become sane. His fasting is not correct because he does not have an intellect to comprehend the worship and to make intention to do it. And we know that worship is correct only with the proper intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Verily, actions are dependent upon intentions. So, if a person becomes insane sometimes and sane other times, then during the times when he is sane, fasting is required from him, but not in the insanity condition. Now, if he started the fasting as sane, and during the fasting day he became insane, his fasting is not nullified. For example, if he becomes unconscious with a certain sickness or the like. Why? Because he made the intention to fast while he was comprehending that. So his niyyah, his intention was correct. And there is no evidence to invalidate his fasting. If we know that insanity also touches him during certain hours. And therefore, it is not required from him to make up that day where he was touched by the insanity and he was fasting. This is one situation. The other situation, if he awakens during the day of Ramadan, if he awakens from his insanity condition and becomes sane during the day of Ramadan, then it is required from him to abstain the rest of his day, because he now is one of the people of wujub, of ahlul wujub. The fourth category is the aged, sentient people. Those are advanced in age who hallucinate. Those advanced in age who hallucinate, sentient people, advanced in age, and who hallucinate. Fasting is not required from them. Similarly, no feeding is required from them as a ransom, because they lack discretion and discrimination of things, and they are like the young before the young reaches the age of discretion. Now, if a person of this category, however, he is able sometimes to discriminate things and distinguish them, and sometimes hallucinate, then again it is required from him to fast during the times where he is able to discriminate things and to distinguish them, but not in the other case ways where he hallucinates. Similarly, prayer is required from him during this time, but not required from him during the hallucination times. The fifth category. The fifth category, the permanently incapacitated and the chronically ill. permanent incapacity and chronic illness also. You say it as a description. Those who are permanently incapacitated and there is no hope for recovery, like the elderly and the ill one who was chronically ill, for example the person who has cancer and the like, then it is not required from them to fast because they are unable to do it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, and fear Allah to the best of your ability. وقال الله تعالى لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a soul more than it can bear, beyond its scope, as in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:286. However, to compensate for that, it is incumbent upon him to feed as a substitute for the lack of fasting, to feed for every day he breaks the fast, to feed one poor person. And he may do the feeding in two ways, in either one of the two ways. He can distribute this food to the poor, to each one half a sa', which is about a kilo and a kilo and a half of rice and the like, and with it some meat and some soup and the like from what people normally eat. Give it to them, to the poor, feeding a poor for every day he broke. Or he may prepare food for 30 people and invite them for one meal. As Anas bin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, did. And from this, we know that our Sharia is based upon wisdom and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his slaves. Allah ordained for each category that which fits its condition, so that they can carry it on without any difficulty and or hardship, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting to his deen, and anticipating the reward from him. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you by bearing witness that you are Allah, the only true God worthy of worship, the one and unique, As-Samad, the one who is self-sufficient, in no need, the most perfect in his attributes. We ask you to guide us to that which is beloved to you and which pleases you, and to make us of those who accepted you as the true Lord worthy of worship, and accepted Islam as our deen and Muhammad as our messenger. We ask you أن تثبتنا على ذلك إلى الممات. We ask you to make us hold to this and be steadfast until the death, and that you forgive us our sins and our wrongdoings, and to bestow upon us from your mercy. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وجزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم.